America. The DL debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love in Sarah's kitchen.
A very good evening. Welcome along to the DL debate here tonight on Highland. Oisin Kelly sitting in for Brendan Devaney, who's not in situ tonight. As we know, he spent the weekend in London with the North London Shamrocks Club. He was over there for the weekend, but he was working as well. And we'll be hearing from the Donegal contingent involved with the Shamrocks Club later on in the programme tonight. The likes of Michael Boyle, Peter Witherow, Nathan McElwain, Enda McCormick and Conor McGonigal will all be on the show later. But before we go to those pieces with Brendan, let's recap some of the weekend's action. First up, ladies Gaelic football. Not so much action, but action on the table, where motions were coming across at Congress on Friday night, which was held in Belfast. And the big story coming out was, of course, the LGFA voting overwhelmingly in favour of integrating with the GAA and the Camogie Association. Fresh from last weekend's resounding passing of the GPA's motion on integration, it was met by widespread support in Belfast with a 67-8 vote in favour of uniting the sporting bodies. President of the LGFA, Michael Nocton, joined me earlier today, who said there's still a lot to do before that integration can happen.
You know, our Congress in Belfast weekend was a huge success, and a lot of discussion, and as rightly said, but probably one of the big things on the floor was integration. I mean, you know, this isn't the first time that basically ladies brought something, you know, to Congress. In 2014, we also moved a motion, then a joint motion with the GAA at that time, in relation to integration and that. And, you know, at times there's a perception out there that the Ladies Association was holding us back. And as I said in my speech on Saturday, you know, that was so far from the truth, because we are very much into integration. But I mean, you know, and that said, Oisin, we're in it for integration for all our members. And as me, as president of the association, I have to represent all our members. Let that be club players, let that be underage players, and not just a percentage of our elite players.
Is this something you feel, Michael, that can happen soon?
Yes, Oisin. I mean, and you know, contrary to what you would read or might hear, and that there's a huge amount of work going on and a huge amount of collaboration happening between the three associations. And basically, you know, when I go to Dublin now, basically for any like press release or any photograph, you know, basically it's the three government bodies that are there, the Camogie there and the GAA there. So basically there is huge work going on that in relation to the player pathway which was launched last year. I know in the next coming weeks the coaching pathway launch, and I mean there's a huge amount of work going on with development. Also in relation to the cool camps, you know, the failure and that, and a huge amount going into basically, you know, the coaching and that. And basically, you know, now when a person, let it be a boy or girl, comes to the gate of a club or a county, I mean, basically they get the same recognition and the same training and the same development. And that is a huge. And these are the foundation stones that we are laying basically now that will further, you know, build on the integration going forward.
And in your own thoughts, Michael, what do you think will be the pros out of integration? What's the overall benefits going to be from this? And I suppose the other side of that as well, what would the concerns of it be?
Look, I mean, it's like anything else. I mean, you know, there will always be a bit of concern when you come together. And, you know, basically we as an association, and, you know, that's the one thing that we differ from the GAA. I mean, the Ladies Association, basically, we have very little venues of our own. I think maybe from two counties in Ireland at the moment, maybe having a pitch of their own. We don't own a blade of grass. And that is a big, you know, issue for us. That is the big issue overall is in relation to venues and pitches and that. So again, even, you know, if we came under one umbrella tomorrow, you know, I kind of see that resolved. There is basically, you know, public government and negotiation to be done in relation to get more venues and more pitches. Because if you look at the membership of the GAA, you look at the membership of Camogie, and you look at the membership of ourselves and the Ladies Association, in our short interception, basically we're not even 50 years old yet. And, you know, basically we have about nearly 130,000 members basically registered at the moment. So, like, and that's just playing members. So, I mean, you know, it's a huge organisation. I mean, there's a lot more demand for pitches, there's a lot more demand for venues and that. So, again, I mean, it's basically us all working together. Yes, basically, you know, it would be great for the association, because if you look at any county or any club, most of the people that are involved in the GAA are involved either with the Ladies Association, and we're all working and we're all trying to strive for the best, and that is make sure that we get the best for our players that are playing our games, and that's what it's about. I think basically, you know, discussion is very important. And if we look at this as the structure that we look at, and I feel that basically, you know, us as the Ladies Association, we'll be looking at a federal system, that we come in on the GAA or BILA, and we come in and hold on to our own presidency, our own rules, that mean, and basically, you know, let the finance and all that maybe go into the one pot. I have no issues with that at all. But I think, you know, we have some very good rules. We have, you know, built our Ladies game basically on our rules and on our traditions, and I think it's very important that we hold on to them. And again, I mean, you know, you just couldn't have a Congress basically, you know, the one day or the one weekend with all the associations. So I think, you know, we'd all have to have our own Congress, all have to have our own rules. That, but I mean, I think it would be for the betterment, because at the end of the day, I mean, and I think, you know, with Sport Ireland and with the fund and that, and that's why I say, like, I mean, you know, it's very easy to move motions and bring motions to Congress, but I hope they're brought for the right reasons and for the right interests of all our members in the association, because at the end of the day, I mean, you know, we've got to get government funding and Sport Ireland and all that. These are basically the boxes that have to be ticked going forward.
Okay, Micheál Nochtin, many thanks for joining us on the DL debate tonight.
Cheers, thank you very much, Oisin. Chat to you, bye-bye.
Micheál Nochtin on the big story from the LGFA Congress, where they voted overwhelmingly in favour of integrating with the GAA and the Camogie body as well. Let's go to some of the ladies' action on the pitch. Donegal progressing to the semi-finals of the league, where they will play Dublin on St Patrick's weekend in the last four. They suffered their first defeat of the campaign on Sunday, going down to Mayo, 2-7 to 1-7. The Connacht side will now face Meath in the other last four fixture. Karen Guthrie scored 1-3 for Donegal yesterday. Geraldine McLaughlin wasn't available again, but they have been boosted by the return of Yvonne Bonner. Back in the Donegal jersey, she featured yesterday and she got in the score sheet as well. But it turned out a disappointing result in the end. Donegal boss Maxi Curran told Cian Nicholas that they didn't do themselves justice, particularly with their second half performance.
Yeah, a hard fought, surely. Look, it definitely is disappointing. You know, we don't feel we done ourselves justice today. We don't think we played anywhere near what we were capable of. It's never going to be pretty in March, I suppose, the best of times, and it was windy out there for the first half, and it was hard to get, you know, any kind of traction in the first half. But look, we had the win in the second half, and we have to say we're disappointed with our scoring turn in the end.
But you addressed that at half time. You made a few changes in the forward line. They seemed to work as you got off to a great start in that second half. I mean, looking ahead to the Dublin game, is it crucial to get a good start, especially in the forward line, looking ahead to that game?
Well, look, every day is different. Every game takes on a life of its own in terms of the conditions, the playing conditions, the pitch, the weather, that kind of thing. So, you know, starting well is all very well, but look, you got to finish the game strong, and we didn't do that. You know, we were just very wasteful in possession, and, you know, do we get one score in the last quarter, if even that? So, you know, that bit's disappointing, and those are the areas we need to improve on, our game management and how we handle the hour, as opposed to, you know, playing in small chunks. So, but look, as I say, it's March time. It's only the third game in the National League, and we have a great battle with Dublin to look forward to. So I suppose that's the positive coming out the road.
And just focusing on one of your forwards in particular, who was on fine form today, Karen Guthrie, 1-3, I counted anyway. Superb today, really, really was, and a veteran of Donegal Ladies football.
Yeah, look, you know, she is a real stalwart of the game for us, all right. And it gets no easier with the time clock ticking away for her, but look, she just gives it everything, and she's been a great servant for Donegal, and, you know, she's kicked the freeze there as they come, and she's a constant threat for the opposition, and she's a player that teams know they need to mark and watch out for. So, yeah, look, we're blessed to have her, and delighted she had a good game today.
That's Donegal Ladies manager Maxi Curran. And before we go to the hurling action from yesterday, where there was a big derby, and of course later on we'll be hearing from the North London Shamrocks Donegal contingent on the programme as well, we're going to stick with more ladies football, because the LYIT are looking forward to an All-Ireland Moynihan Cup final this week. The Letterkenny side face MTU Cork in the decider this coming Friday. Manager of the LYIT ladies is county player Kitty Hearn, who has guided the side to a final in her first year in charge.
Big game indeed. It's nice to get to this stage in the season. I know, I think we're the last Gaelic team involved now at the minute, so it's lovely to have that for the college as well and the lead up for it now this week.
Listen, all the focus is now very much on ladies football and the LYIT, as you said, this week, but you've had a fantastic run to the finals, so you have, Kitty.
Yeah, listen, we're going well. Probably very hard coming in not really knowing that much about college football and even the opposition, you're kind of going into the unknown every game. But the girls have stood up massively and we've got through every game and hopefully going into this game pretty confident. So it's been a good run for us and we'd like to see it out now.
Yeah, and you've beat some quality sides along the way as well, Kitty.
Yeah, we played a pretty tough Cork team now last week and it went down to the wire as well. So it's actually another Cork team. We're playing MTU now on Friday. So I can just imagine it's going to be a pretty tough battle. They beat, MTU beat the other Cork side in the last competition by 3 points. So a big physical side. And I'm sure there'll be no different now come Friday. So we'll have it all ahead of us.
Yeah, and so you beat the likes of DCU on the way to the final too, didn't you?
We did, yeah. We would have played them earlier in the year as well. And we played St Mary's, Belfast as well, coming through. So we've had our fill of it. We played Sligo in a friendly. They're actually in the division higher than us, and we gave them a good run. We beat them that night. They were down a few players. So we've had pretty tough games in the lead-up, so hopefully we're well prepared for Friday evening.
Yeah. Tell us about your squad again, Kitty. Obviously, we looked at the men's, full of Donegal players. Is that the same for the ladies LYT side as well?
No, we've actually got a lovely blend of players this year. I know the girls were saying in previous years it was all predominantly Donegal, but we have a nice blend. We've had a couple of girls there from Mayo and a couple from Sligo and Cavan and one or two from Roscommon and Longford too. So there's a nice wee mix there, which is lovely because then obviously but those girls from down the country have come in and stood up massively for us, and some of them have been probably our top performers over the year, so it's great to have them come up and just shows kind of how well LYT is doing in the promotion of college, because that's probably something we haven't seen. There's a girl from Dublin up there as well, Emma Ho. So the girls have been brilliant. Karen McLaughlin, so those girls are from down the country, Mayo and Sligo, so they've been really pulling us through a lot of the games, to be fair to them. So it's nice to see that blend of the counties coming together.
Yeah, and how many of the girls do you have within your squad that's playing inter-county with Donegal, Kitty?
There's five of the inter-county girls playing. So it's good, great experience for them to during the season and the lead up to the county season as well. So Aoife McColligan's in there net, she's actually the captain. And then there's a couple of the Glenfinn girls, Katie Long and Danielle McGinley, and Saskia Boyle from down Dunlow. Julie Tretry was in with us last year, Downing, so she's still hanging in there.
Yeah. So listen, you've by the sounds of it, you've got a good group there. At times at college football, it's hard to get everybody together to train together, but what's the preparations been like now since you won your semi-final last week and obviously going into this week? You will have a lot of more time with the girls, will you, Kitty?
Yeah, and that's something with college football. Obviously, you start at the start of the year and you've huge numbers up, and as the year goes, it's down pretty quickly, but we've a core group there who've been together now for the last couple of games, and there's a good bond between them, so it's nice. So working with the smaller panel is probably a lot easier for me, and the girls get that wee bit more familiar with each other. So we're actually out training now tonight for our last night before the game, so it'll be good to... The game is actually on Astro on Friday, so we're getting into the Aura tonight to get a wee run on the Astro, so it'll be good for the girls just to get a feel for that.
Yeah. Would you rather be on the grass or the Astro?
Well, me personally, grass, but it's a faster game, I suppose, and we have a good few of pretty speedy players, so it probably will suit us on Astro too, and we ran it out in the legs pretty well, so I feel fitness will be on our side on Astro, so hopefully we can see it through.
Yeah. Just on your squad again, and I suppose you're starting 15, Kitty, you said you've got a smaller group that you're working with this year. Has your starting lineup changed much since you first fielded in the competition?
No, it hasn't too much, actually, which has been nice because we've got that core group of girls now together probably from the start. There was a few courses that obviously didn't allow players out before Christmas, the nursing and kind of placement-type courses like that. So Lauren joined in with us after Christmas, and we've kind of kept the rest of them, which is lovely to kind of have that group to build on throughout the year and not have too much kind of sway in the names and numbers. So it's been nice that we've been able to build on a core group of girls, and there hasn't been too much in and out.
From your own perspective, first time in management as well, Kitty, it's been a good year for you. I'm sure you're learning a lot as you go along, as you step off the playing field and you're standing on the sideline. But it would be a nice way to end the season in your first year as a manager if you were to have success this coming Friday.
Yeah, it's going well. It's kind of nice, I suppose, to see things from another perspective, and you kind of appreciate everything that's going on within the back. Having experienced myself, and obviously I've had the guidance of a lot of very high quality managers and coaches over the years, so I've have that good bit of experience having dealt with that, and kind of can apply it now myself. So it's been a nice transition. Barney Kernsen helped me there as well, and he's been about a long time as well within teams. So seems to be working well with the girls. Obviously there's wee challenges along the way, and it's all kind of a learning process, but hopefully if we can get over the line now, it'll be a good.
Yeah, just finally then, is it going to take the best performance of the year on Friday to win this?
Yeah, well, listen, we go out days, and we've a pretty solid team there. Their work rate's unbelievable. That's the one thing that's kind of stood out from the start of the year for me, is their work rate. But we can be sloppy at times in possession, and we would need to pull it all together now to make sure we get over the line.
Okay, we wish you the very best in the final this weekend. Thanks, Katie.
Thanks, Oisin.
The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love in Sarah's kitchen.
Let's move on to hurling, and the Donegal senior men lost for the first time in Division 2B yesterday. They went down in the derby against Derry at the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny by 23 points to 15. So a first defeat for Donegal, but they can still qualify for the semi-final stage with one round of games left to play. Donegal manager Mickey McCann said the better side won on the day.
Well, Tom, so in the first half we could have been going on maybe 4 or 5 up. There was a bit of a breeze there, and you'd have needed that cushion going on, but they were just 3 just before an end, and it was always going to be tough in the second half. They were only come at us, and the free ticket can hit it over and out from 90 yards. You know, it felt maybe in the second half we'd be away far too many frees and stuff. And look, overall, they're a better side and hurled much better than us in the second half.
Yeah. Sometimes I suppose you have to realise that you are playing a team that is slightly better than you. You know.
Yeah, I suppose we needed a bit make more of the breeze in the first half, and we didn't. Tom, you know, they're a slightly better side, I feel, but I feel we didn't perform in the second half. We tired maybe, and Derry looked more physical and fitter, but a lot of that's due to momentum, and look, when they got their tails up, they showed that they can spray the ball about, and we lost a wee bit of shape, Tom, and look, they're well used to playing at that level, and they're well able to go up to Division 2A, you know, and they've been there before, and at the end of the day, they're Christy Ring final last year, Tom, too, so look, they're that wee step above you, and it's just a matter of us going out to compete, which you did well, and time's gone by, we've been out here with 20 or 30 points, but look, we were close enough to the first half and kept with them, but they showed that just a wee bit of step up in the second half.
Probably needed a goal or so in the first half to give you a bit of daylight between you and them, and you had one or two chances, but you hadn't the power to kick on and maybe drive at them.
No, I suppose the first half, Tom, they were set up fairly defensive too, you know, their midfielders were dropping back, and we got 2 or 3 goals against them the last time we played, and they weren't going to let that happen today, and both goalkeepers were relatively quiet today. Nobody got inside really for goals, which is not normal for a hurling game. But Tom, look, we're happy enough. We've 6 points on the table, and we're in bonus territory. You know, we'd like to put on a better performance today at home, but at the same time, Derry, nobody's laid a glove on them, Tom. That's as close as anybody's been to them. And after the first half, we're 3 up. You know, they've never been behind. So we give them a wee scare at the start, but at the end, they just did too much first half.
Yeah. Are your thoughts and focus maybe already on the Nicky record?
It is. When it comes to injuries and tough time, you know, you anybody that's carrying niggles, you're going to rest them up and get the bodies fresh and see where you're at. You know, we're possibly in a semi-final now in this league against Sligo, probably, and look, if you happen to come through the semi and get the league final, then you've no break at all going into the Nicky record. So we're in an awkward place, Tom, in terms of a lot of thinking we've done with the backroom team, myself and Gabriel, to see what's more important, you know, and obviously getting another go with that Nicky record is very important for us, and the two aims was to stay in Division 2B and try to retain that Nicky record cup, and look, we've part one done already, so just a lot of thinking to do with team selection stuff, Tom, going to be semi-final and final in this league.
Tell me, you're without Richie Ryan today and Jack O'Loughlin, both of them have been ruled out for the rest of the league. Michael Donoghue was missed today's game as well, but he was among the reserves.
Yeah, Mike probably could have got 20 minutes today, Tom, but supposing the game went away from us in the last 20 minutes, there was no point in risking him. You know, Richie will be the start of the championship before he's back, hopefully, if he's back that early, and Jack O'Loughlin is probably another 2 weeks away. Tom, so look, big losses for us, your centre back and actually a midfielder and a full forward from the first day out. So, yeah. Big boys to fall. But look, Conor Gerton come in there and done well today, and Declan had a decent enough game coming back. You know, so we have a wee bit of strength and depth, Tom. And but as I say, it's going to be a matter of getting the bodies fresh for the first round of the Mickey record, and we'll not be risking nobody in the league. You know.
That's Mickey McCann. As for Derry, that one in Letterkenny yesterday, that 8-point victory was enough to secure their place in the Division 2B final. The man that top scored on the day was Cormac Doherty. He hit 9 points yesterday.
Well, Cormac, 8-point victory here at Donald Park. Happy enough with that?
Oh, look, definitely. Any day you come Donegal and get 2 points in the league, it's a good day. We know there's plenty to improve on, but I'll have the victory.
Yeah, 10-7 down at half-time. What was the feeling?
Probably just that we done to ourselves justice in the first half. Donegal punished our mistakes. It's just about tidying up a wee bit at the back, stop giving the ball away and take our chances, and I think we done that a lot better in the second half.
Yeah, no better man to take the chances than you. Ended up with 9 points. Missed one or two.
I'm sure I'll hear about it during the week, but thankfully the rest of the forwards bailed me out there and never started to miss a couple. But
And you did overpower them a bit in the second half.
We definitely stepped up a wee bit in the second half. I think there's a few players, Micheál McGaugh, Brendan McGilligan, really stepped up in the second half and carried us in the finish.
Yeah. Breeze was strong in the first half, I suppose. That was a factor. It was a factor in the second half too, was it?
Oh, definitely. Breeze was this time of year, you're always going to have to deal with weather conditions. Probably we didn't deal with it well enough in the first half, but we learned from what we had done wrong in the first half, and we built on it, and I think we corrected a lot of mistakes in the second.
Yeah. Things coming right. I know you missed out on promotion last year, lost to Kildare. You're back in the final, hoping to get back up to Division 2A.
Aye, look, that's what you want to be. You want to test yourself against better teams, and you know, we've been knocking on the door probably the last 4 or 5 years, a couple of league finals, and for whatever reason we haven't got across the line, but we're building well. No doubt whoever we have in the league finals is going to be a big game again, and as you say, it's just, it'd be great to put Derry back up in 2A and test ourselves.
Yeah, you're going to be favourites for that now, because it's going to be either Donegal, Derry, or Mayo or Sligo, I think.
Yeah. We've probably played whoever we might meet in 3 or 4 weeks' time. But look, it's a different day, different game. We'll have to be ready for it, because as you've seen today, if you're not at the game, teams will take advantage of it, and we know we have to get better.
What did you make of Donegal overall?
Very impressive. Like they've come through unbeaten as well. I think we knew we were coming for a challenge. Their set work was very sharp there in the first half, and it took us a while to get to the pitch of the game. I suppose that's credit to the work that they're putting in. They pushed us a long way there for 40 or 45 minutes, you know. Hopefully that keeps driving us on.
That's Cormac Doherty speaking to Tom Comack as well. On Saturday, it was a better day for Donegal teams. Both footballing sides won. The under-20 men's team, with a strong second-half performance, seen off Mayo 2-10-1-3. They remain undefeated in the Leo Murphy Cup, and that victory also secured a place in the final, where they will take on neighbours Tyrone in the decider next weekend. And on the minor front, Donegal started the Jim McGuigan Cup campaign on a successful note. They took victory, comfortably beaten Fermanagh, 2-13-7 points was how that one ended as well. So let's go to our feature part of the DL Debate programme tonight. Your presenter, Brendan Devaney, as we said, not here tonight to present the programme. That's because he's still in London. He spent the weekend with the North London Shamrocks Club. Coming up, we'll hear from the chairman and indeed the Donegal contingent, who are part of the Shamrocks, namely Michael Boyle, Peter Wetherill, Nathan McElwain, Enda McCormick and Conor McGonigal. So with more from London, let's go to Brendan Devaney.
Thanks, Oisin. Good man yourself. I'm here, of course, in London with Paddy Madigan. He is the chairman of North London Shamrocks. Paddy, how are things this evening?
Very well, Brendan.
Paddy, this club's going from strength to strength at the minute. We're just at the dinner dance here. Huge crowd, great atmosphere, a lot of things happening.
Yeah, I mean, the club has always been ambitious. You know, I've come from a player to a manager to chairman now, and I think not just myself, but people involved within the club have always had that ambition. We're a number of years behind some of the more established clubs that have been in London, to Conall Gaels, Fulham Irish. But we are getting there, and we are improving, and I think a reflection of that is the management that people are putting in place to bring the club forward.
Yeah, and of course a huge Donegal contingent. You're a Leash man yourself, but you have big ties to Donegal now. A lot of guys involved in the club.
Massive. And you know, we've always had an element of Donegal guys. North London Shamrocks is based in North London, so, and we're a senior club, so often you're picking up people within that club. There's various clubs in West London, so we tend to be a bit singular in terms of geographically. But yeah, I guess, you know, we've built on that from players, as I was manager, bringing in players like Kieran Green, and then I guess built from that with his connections with Michael Boyle.
So you're building your club around Kieran Green, is what you're saying?
Not particularly. I wouldn't go that far, but certainly Kieran, from the point of view of
contacts, yeah.
And selling the club. And you know, as you know, Kieran's a born salesman, and he certainly, from that point of view, will always push the club forward. And, you know, for me as a manager, the one thing I always appreciate about Kieran, and people that know him will know the rough and smooth, but he was very loyal to me as a manager and loyal to the club, and that's always appreciated me. And you know, without bigging him up too much, the springboard for bringing the likes of Michael in and Peter, and you know, their profile, you know, if I ring a player in Ireland, he's not going to say, oh, I'm going to come and play for Shamrocks because of Paddy Madigan. He's going to say, I'll come to Shamrocks because of Michael Boyle or Peter Withrow or the stuff that they've achieved in football. So yes, we're building, Brendan. Our ambition is there, and we just want to continue with that.
Yeah, yeah. And indeed, you mentioned the two boys there, you know, Peter Withrow, Michael Boyle. Listen, two great guys, played with me in Donegal, you know, fantastic to have around the club. You know, first of all, Michael Boyle, of course, you know, massive reputation in Donegal. Like a lot of people in the Northwest are after him as a coach. They took a door from, you know, maybe a championship contender to win an Ulster, I'd say, first time since 1975 at Donegal Club. That massive to have someone with his experience and his knowledge and.
Yeah, I mean, it was a big coup for us to get Michael, and I guess the principles of the club probably, you know, was a factor in that. You know, we've always been, and certainly my involvement in the club has always been, where we've asked guys to come to London to play, it's not a question of just saying we throw them into a one-bedroom apartment, or we give them a dead-end job. We're always looking at their ambition for work, because Gaelic football is massively important to us. It's not the most important thing in our lives. So I guess with the likes of Michael, we were able to, you know, for want of a better word, sell him the wider picture of our contacts, where we could help him in terms of career and get. And I think he did buy into that. And I think that's really important for players coming to. It's not a bit just the short term, it's like the long term of what you end up doing career wise as well as the football. And Michael fitted the profile any other club. I'd known Michael previously, I'd met him a few times. Good character, good guy, determined, you know, ambitious. And he's brought that to the club as well, which is, you know, which is massive for us. And a massive draw as a name, which is brilliant for recruitment.
Yeah, certainly. And being over here and just seeing the size of London and how you're up against other sports, I suppose that ability, being up at your underage training today and seeing Peter Withrow involved, and I suppose all the aspects you just mentioned, the club, very different day at home. You know, you play for a Gaelic team, you get on with life. Over here, it's a different thing. It's your socialising, also contacts for work, and then it's your playing days, and it's your Irishness, I suppose. And yeah, being up at that park today, your home pitch, you've renovated the dressing rooms as well. Fantastic to see all those wee lads who are from Irish parents out playing GAA.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know you said it in your speech today, you know, Gaelic is about our identity. It's in our DNA. It's about our culture, you know, and it's very hard to ignore that in everyday life. And obviously in London, you're away from home, but the Gaelic gives you that community, gives you that sense of belonging, gives you that sense of Irishness. And you know, you mentioned it yourself, you know, and we have it in London now with some of the senior clubs, that some of the best players involved in London now are English-born players. So it proves that if your system is right at underage, you can create, you know, the next, you know, Brendan Devaney. You can create players that are capable of performing at the highest level if your coaching is right. And obviously people like Peter involved in the youth side, where he's been able to bring in, you know, ideas, improve the coaching, help people that could be parents that maybe haven't had a massive background in Gaelic, and just try and improve every level of the club. Because if you suddenly have four or five young players coming through each year, possibly even that amount, two or three, it makes a massive difference to your club. And then they have that home club mentality, that willingness to want to play well, to, you know, represent, to, they've got the pride in it. So the youth side of our club is massive to us. And as well as that, it's given them an identity, their Irishness, the sense of community. You know, I've been involved in football here as well, and it's not quite the same as you get from what you experienced today with just community. Ability doesn't really matter. It's just about showing up, enjoying it, and the kids being happy, and then hopefully giving them some good coaching and giving them a structure that brings them through all of the club.
Yeah, fantastic, Paddy. I want to wish you all the best in the future. Thanks for having me over here this evening.
Thanks very much. Thanks for coming.
I'm here now in the bowels of the Galtymore Hotel here. I'm with the future stars here of Donegal and North London Shamrocks. Nathan McElwain, Enda McCormick, two Termin boys, and Conor McGonigal, of course. Lads, how's things going in London? Good. I'm, you're a wee bit shy, these boys, but we'll get there.
I'm very good. Hey, all going well.
Over. That's Conor. Conor, you're a fan of it, man. You've come over here, new taste of life. Hey, how are you enjoying it?
I'm very good. I came over last June, so just over here 8 months or so now, so everything's going well. It's a bit of a change from Fannad now, but everything's going good.
You're missing Seamy Freeland and Patrick McConaughey.
Oh, it's a bit quieter without them boys over here now. A few stories to tell them boys.
He's got a great beard, eh? You can't see it now. Nathan, I spoke to you a while back at Termin's training. Again, as Conor was saying, a different world here over in London. Are you enjoying life?
Different world altogether, yeah. It's, we're far from the lagoon and then places now over in the big city here.
That's a plug for Johnny, of course.
It is, exactly. It's shout out for McAfee and them. Now we're getting on the best. Hey, it's good. The crack's good. There's plenty of stuff to do. And as I say, it's life over here is convenient compared to back home.
Yeah, and the three lads, of course, are playing for London. And fair play to these lads. You've obviously stepped up that they're looking for you. And of course, here, you got player of the year tonight. An honour for you. And I'm sure there might be a wee boy, Declan Bunner, there on the phone to you, getting you back home.
I suppose no. Came over here last June and it's been a great experience so far. Like, it's a very big Donegal community over here. You have the two boys here, and you have Michael Boyle, you have Peter Willerow. When you walk down the street, you meet a man from Donegal, like, so it's great to be a part of the whole thing, and it's a new adventure for the whole lot of us. Like, it's a wee bit different to back home, obviously. Like, you know, it's very busy over here, but no, it's good to be a part of the whole thing, and the community over here. It's like a wee small community. It's not like you're in London at all, the place where we live in, so it's great to be a part of the whole thing.
Imagine, it's some award to get tonight for a play. It was lovely to see you up receiving that award. Conor, your dad, of course, top soccer player, we fan it. You know, a lot of soccer now is growing up. You've probably got both skills inside you, but you're excelling at the Gaelic at the minute.
It's true enough now. It's hard to live up to his name now. He lets me know quite often what he's achieved now. But no, it's good. Like, I played football for Fannad for a good few years and played for Carrickkeel there as well. And I suppose I was mostly soccer until under 18s, and then I kind of decided to play for Gaelic then. That kind of took over then, but now everything's going well now. Hopefully I have a couple of years over here now and see what happens.
Make your big money, go back home, buy a house, I get it.
That's it, hey, make the money, get out.
And Nathan, just like I talked to you last, it was probably the season before last down in Termin.
Yeah.
Obviously Termin club, listen, no more than any club, missing players like yourself in Enda here. It's a thing, obviously the club wants you back. Is it just a matter of time of trying to balance that? You obviously, if you love your club, you're over here experiencing life, but certainly you miss the lads at home.
Big time, yeah. It was probably the hardest thing to leave. It wasn't the family, it was the lads in Termin. Like, the time I had left, I think we had maybe five league games in a row and things were looking good. The young boys were coming through and we were pushing for promotion at that stage, and it was a really hard decision to leave, but I think it was the work commitments in the end that drew me over here.
Yeah, so your lads, you're all involved with London at the minute. The different experiences, suppose you play in the Alliance League, travelling back, just experience that county setup. Is that something that you weren't expecting when you come over? Is it something you're really enjoying? Because London have a phenomenal start. You've won 3 out of 4.
Aye, well, look, suppose came over here, just kind of came over here for the work commitments, really, and then got in with, obviously, Michael, and he's a top-class coach. Obviously, me and him's good friends. We're back home with Donegal, and kind of things went on with the Shamrocks. We had a good run in the league, and then obviously the London thing started and got asked up to the London thing, and really, like, it was never something that whenever I came over here, I set off to be a part of, and we got asked into it then, and obviously it's a top class setup. You have Michael there, and they have a great backroom team, and they have a great squad. And look, they've been out of the Alliance League now for 2 years, and look, we've put our best foot forward now this year, and everybody's kind of in awe of ourselves, but I think we're going to give it a good rattle this year now, to be honest. Everyone has the foot to the board, and everyone's kind of buying into the whole system that Michael's enforcing, and we're going to set our sets high this year.
Yeah, perfect. Listen, that's great from Donegal, man, to see you doing well over here. Thanks for giving us a couple of words in the DL debate.
Cheers.
Yes, finishing up our interviews with North London Shamrocks, I'm here with Peter Wetherill of St Michael's and Michael Boyle of Termon, two men that are well known in Donegal GA circles, stalwarts for their club, playing for the county. Of course, Michael, you of course guiding Gidor to that famous championship and Ulster final victory. You're over now playing your trade in London with North London Shamrocks. You're enjoying your time here.
Yeah, enjoying it. I suppose I'm here maybe 2 years now at this stage. Firstly, when I came over, I just got involved with the club. I know my mate Kieran Green, and I've got other mates as well. Peter was involved with the club, and then also I know you, the chairman of the club at the time, Patrick Madigan, as well. So we just spoke whenever I moved over, and he asked me to get involved with the club. So I was looking for a move after being involved with Goodore and Termon for years, and I was glad to get involved with the football team High North London, just purely for the connections and the community as well that brings with it. I knew they had a good side over the years, and they were looking to try and, you know, progress things over the next couple of years as well. And I know they're working hard in the background, you know, trying to work for the senior team and also with the underage, trying to bring the underage through.
Yeah, and you mentioned the underage there, Michael. You're with the seniors, you're coaching, you're managing. Peter's helping you, as you say. Kieran's in the background some way, pulling in contacts, doing what he does. But Peter, I was up with you at the underage today. You know, it was funny, in London, it's hard to get the magnitude of the city and where you're at. But you had your own place, your own grounds and dressing rooms, you know, load of wee kids that are second generation Irish, if you like, from Irish parents, the wee English lads, all up coaching, all age, girls and boys. It was great to see.
To be fair, like when you first come over, you don't really have an understanding of like how important it is for, say, maybe Irish people that have moved over years ago. You know, for example, if myself and Michael stayed, our kids, you're going to want them to play GAA because we grew up playing GAA, and even though they might be English born, these kids are as much part of the GAA as any kids that I've coached at home and as keen. So like, you've seen it for yourself today, like we have hundreds of kids up there, and I was kind of blown away the first time I landed up as well. You know, I think it's essential, and I think the Shamrocks are doing a lot in terms of trying to bring through those English-born players now, and I think it has to be done.
Yeah, so vital to underage here. Michael, your last time in Donegal with Gidor, I mentioned it tonight when we were talking, you know, Donegal have two Ulster championships, one in 1975, the famous St. Joe's, Bundoran and Ballyshannon amalgamation, nothing since, and everybody in Donegal knows your part that you played in that Gidor revolution, if you like. And listen, fortunes haven't been great for Gidor since. So the ingredient in that, I suppose, is yourself. So really, I suppose Shamrocks wanted you over here, but you must have had a lot of calls in Donegal as well for people wanting to take you in.
Listen, I suppose when you've moved over here, and you get involved with the club, you just want to bring the experience that you had through the past, really, to be honest. And I was lucky I was under a good few managers over the years, anybody from Brian McEnough to Jim McGuinness in the end, Rory Gallagher in the end as well. So listen, I'm just trying to bring the experiences I had and bring it over here, and trying to put the structures and the systems in a place and a club over here that might not have that experience, where they've got the willingness to learn and the interest there, and they've also got the backing from the club that they want to progress. But I'm just trying to bring those experiences that I had over here as best I can. You know, yeah. That's what I'm looking
for. Peter, tell me, it's just for people listening. At home, people have their grounds, and your GAA pitch is everywhere, and people own it. And they've what happens here? Just chatting to the lads today around leasing and how you have to approach the council. Obviously, there's only so much green space here. You have to kind of go and kind of put your tender in terms of what you're bringing to the community. You go to schools, and you try and track that interest in the GAA.
Exactly. Yeah, a lot of times you're maybe sharing council sports fields with like so soccer, rugby, different sports they got there. You don't have your own grounds, your own clubhouse. Now our club was lucky enough now that they've secured a 10-year lease, so they can sort of start to put their own stamp on the clubhouse, start to make it about their own, put the crest on the thing, and it starts to feel like a bit more of a hub. and a wee bit more like what clubs would expect at home. You're still probably going to have to share with soccer teams and stuff like that, but I mean, that's sort of to be expected, as you say. You know, green spaces at a premium in a big city, and you're not going to get, you know, the same sort of open spaces as you would at home. Like,
yeah, and Michael, you have five players in the London squad at the minute. You've won an intermediate title a few seasons ago. Is a senior title realistic this year? What's the goals?
Listen, now that's where you want to be. We're looking to try and develop the club in a way that we can get to the top table here in London, because there's a couple of clubs like Tyrconnell Gaels has always been up and around the top. You're looking at Kiernan's as well, won the championship last year. Fulham are running around there every year. So we're just looking to try and build a squad that can be competitive, you know, and be in the mix every year. And, you know, it takes a lot of work trying to recruit players, you know, trying to get players developed that are coming through the underage teams and stuff like that. So look, that's all we want at the minute, but the goal is to get to a senior championship. That's what we want to get to, and we'd be lying if we weren't looking to try and do that in the next couple of seasons. But look, we know it's going to be a hard graft, but we're trying to put the right things in place to get there, you know.
Yeah, and you retired Kieran Green, rightly so. Now, Peter here, is there a year on him, or what are we looking at?
Definitely a year left in Peter, hey. We're managing him at the minute, so we are.
Unfortunately, I had to deal with this man a few seasons. I'd rather he didn't mark me any time. Listen, lads, listen, I want to wish you all the best. Phenomenal being over here. Keep up the good work. Good luck with the season.
Cheers, Brendan. Thank you.
Cheers, lads. Thank you. Thank you much. Yeah, lads, that was the DL debate. I want to thank Oisin for introducing the show and producing the show this evening. I want to thank all my guests. And of course, over here at North London Shamrock, I want to thank the hospitality. I'll speak to you all next week.
The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny. Serving food you'll love in Sarah's Kitchen.